So guess what we talked about today? Dun, 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 dun.
Baby Shark!
Yeah, so this episode we talked about sharks, which is one of Elissa's favorite animals.
And baby sharks.
A baby shark is a pup.
You thought you were going to get away without not listening to us sing this time.
You were wrong. At least it's not a stupid song that you guys are probably skipping through anyway.
They're just turning it off. They're not even skipping.
No, they're like, it's not worth listening about this animal if we have to listen to these two girls sing very badly.
Well, it was pointed out to me that you're the one that's singing. I'm just like falling along in the background.
Okay, I like to try.
You are trying.
Make an effort. Yeah, so our five listeners are probably like, nope.
Thanks, Dad.
My family doesn't listen.
Out of the five, two of them are us.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Three?
Yeah.
Dad.
Dad. You're not my dad. Your dad.
I don't even know.
I don't know. Shout out to the five listeners.
Yay!
Yeah, so sharks, they're cool. You learned a lot.
I did. I have no experience with aquarium or aquatic animals whatsoever. So definitely super interesting. I learned a lot. Elissa is a very, very kind guest and did not make me feel stupid for any questions I had, even though I know that five-year-olds probably ask the same question.
Yeah, she's used to educating children, so you are no different.
No, exactly. So she's very patient with me. Great answers, great information about an animal that I think there's a lot of information about certain species of sharks, but she really steered clear of the great white talking. We talked about different animals.
Why are you breaking my thing? That loud noise was Whitney breaking my thing.
Oops. We got a microphone, can you tell? Could you hear the quality of Carly's stuff sliding down the wall towards the floor? Yeah.
If you haven't noticed, we don't have high-tech equipment. In fact, we're sitting on the floor of my apartment called the Dollhouse, and it, you know, our setup is very janky, and the internet service is very poor, and we understand that the quality is poor, and we don't have...
We're also poor.
Yeah. And our guests aren't always in the same state, and because of the COVID, we don't have... We haven't interviewed someone here yet.
You know who's not sitting on the floor?
Knox.
Still.
Yeah, I love how this is a week apart, but same day. Knox is still sleeping on my spot.
While we sit on the ground.
Yeah.
It's okay. Turtle's not even in the same room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about sharks. Mm-hmm. You got anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And work's been good.
Yeah, we've had some really nice guests the last few days. It's been super pleasant. I mean, guests are a big part of the job, and customer service, even though we try to hide behind the scenes, goes along with the territory. We had pretty pleasant people yesterday. A man told me that I could just run him over.
Yeah.
He didn't care. You got called cute.
Yeah.
So you've been in a really good mood.
And not by, like, a person that, like, not cute that way. It was a woman and her kid and a friend, I think. And after chatting to them coincidentally about sharks, even though I was in an aviary, it, you know, we started talking about sharks. So the kid is wearing a shark shirt. And she's just... When she left, goes, "You're the cutest." And I'm like, "Yeah, I am."
She's been in a good mood ever since.
It's just nice to get, you know, I had a lot of guests last week that were just like, "Oh, look at that pooper scooper." And some people are just struggling at being human. So this week was really nice. But people saying, "Oh, we appreciate what you're doing." And it's just nice.
I think a lot of us have forgotten how to interact with one another over the last 12 months and getting back out into the world. We forget that you need to be polite.
Yes, and even be polite to sharks because they have feelings too.
They do because they're friends, not food.
Well, fish are friends, not food.
Sharks are fish.
Well, but the movie quote is the guy's learning not to eat other fish. Like, he's the shark.
I know.
But I guess, you know, okay, I see what you're saying.
Thank you.
It works.
It does.
It works. It's fine.
I know it does. Okay. Well, on that note.
Yes.
On with the episode. Just kidding.
One more second. Make sure you like us on Instagram and, you know,
comment.
We would love to hear your comments. Do you like the songs? Do you want to reach through your radio and strangle us for singing those songs?
You can also compliment the intro music. Mm-hmm. Zach wrote it. Zach. You can spell that with an H or a K.
All caps, though.
In the comments, tell us how wonderful he is.
Yeah, Zach is definitely spelled all caps, though. Make sure you know that. And, yeah, we'd like to know how you... How you liking the show? You know, this is just a hobby for us, so, you know.
We don't really care. Really just kidding. We're trying.
Good comments only.
I guess we should start, like, promoting the Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram. So, what is our Instagram name?
It's HITNH, so Humans in Their Natural Habitat Podcast. That's our handle. That's really long. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So on with sharks.
Done it.
All right. So we're back with Elissa. We're going to talk about one of her favorite animals, and that is.
Oh, sharks.
I know. I'm not
terrible.
I'm not smooth. So you love sharks.
I do.
What do you love about sharks?
I love that they are the underdogs that everyone automatically doesn't like, but they are the coolest things ever.
Do you relate to sharks?
I mean, I guess they are loners. They are like the garbage men of the ocean.
All right, you are an eater.
I am an eater, so you know I could be like the garbage men of the non-ocean. Yeah.
So there are a ton of species of sharks. There's about, 500 species of sharks?
Yeah, 500. I think it was 527 the last time I checked. It probably has gone up since then.
And it's hard for people to even know that because that famous Shark Week, they get to talk about one shark in particular. Usually they talk about the great white. So we're going to skip the great white at our talk because I think the other ones need to... be talked about more.
Only 526 to go.
So let's start with number one and get through to 526. There are tons of sharks. Do you have any favorite sharks?
I do. I mean, I love blue sharks. I love pressure sharks. Mm-hmm. Whale sharks are pretty cool. A lot of people love whale sharks because they are kind of your non-traditional shark, mm-hmm. As in they eat plankton. Mm-hmm. They're not big fish eaters. And also it's one of those ones that people tend to think is a whale, not a shark.
Absolutely.
So people like them. But I'm not saying that's why you like them.
No. I just like the spots. No.
Whale.
Because I think they're whales.
Because I think they're whales. Nerf sharks, obviously, they work with them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's so many different species, and they all have really cool little interesting things about them that we could do a 20-hour talk on that.
Right, so let's do that. No, just kidding.
I ain't got time for that.
The biggest fish, and a lot of people some people don't even realize sharks are fish, but they are fish, and the biggest fish is the whale shark. Do you know what the smallest shark is?
The cookie cutter?
Is it? Oh, and why are they called cookie cutters?
They do something pretty cool. They attach themselves to bigger fish, and they take a plug out of the fish's skin, or it looks like a cookie. Uh-huh. They're little teeth, and they just cut a little cookie out of their flesh, and yum, 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 and move on.
Yummy.
So it doesn't kill the fish, it just is like a little bite?
It's just like a little
nibble?
Little plug of their skin, I mean. I don't know what else to call it. It's just a round little chunk taken out. Animals are very, very different from humans. They can get severe injuries and just keep on going.
Yeah.
Versus
a paper cut, like crying on the floor.
Exactly. That's like the best example. I got a paper cut the other day. And I was like, I would be dead if I was a bitch. But yeah, they can get a chunk taken out of their skin and not even a visit or just like, that happened. Keep going. I mean,
yeah.
That's a pretty, that's very eco-friendly, sustainable food source for those little sharks. If they just take a little piece, it can grow back. You can revisit the food source.
It's smart.
Later. Yeah. So get that disease later.
Ahead of their time. So green.
No, it's smart. If you kill the animal you're eating, you don't get to go revisit that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's very smart method of eating for sure. So you did mention the blue shark. They're really cool. And they are blue, correct?
Yeah, bluish tint. Yeah. Yeah. Not like blueberry blue.
They don't look like blueberries swimming in the ocean.
They're not floating little blueberries.
So one of my favorite things about sharks is their intense reproduction systems. They're all very different from one another. And I know the blue shark, what's fascinating about them is they can have a lot of pups. Mm-hmm. So
that's a cool, a little fun tidbit is that baby sharks are called pups.
Yes. Oh, and I did it right. Yay.
Yeah.
Yay. But I mean, I don't want to be a mom to one child. That's just terrifying to me. Blue shark is a mom to what, over 100 pups?
A lot. They have a lot. Sharks are, because there are so many, there's a huge diversity of types or ways in which they can reproduce. So some can have hundreds, and some, some lay eggs. Mm-hmm. Some lay eggs internally, and then those eggs hatch inside of them, and then it's a live birth. Mm-hmm. Some of them have just live birth. It's a crazy, I don't even understand how most of the sharks do it or have pups. Like, they're all different. Mm-hmm. I know nurse sharks lay eggs because we would find egg casings throughout the lagoon. The blue shark, the example you're giving, they are born internally, mm-hmm. and I don't remember if the egg is laid inside and then they hatch inside. Or if it's ovoviviparous or viviparous, mm-hmm. scientific words. But yeah, there's a lot of babies, and they all fight inside that tummy of hers and eat each other.
Mm-hmm. Like prior to
so they
being
get exposed
birthed?
To the real world.
Prior to being born, I mean, the sand shark is one that I know of that does that, where the pups internally will eat each other. And the biggest one wins, and the reason they do that is because the sand shark wants to have a nice big pup, like, because that's how it's going to survive. The biggest, baddest pup, the one that survives and eats all its siblings, is the one that's going to go on and be the badass of the ocean.
Right, yeah. And they're in the womb fighting for survival.
Yeah, I'm glad my sister wasn't in the womb with me, because I would be dead. My older sister. Yeah, she could kill me. She would. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Well, kind of. So sharks are pregnant for a long time, correct?
I believe they can be pregnant over a year.
Wow. Yeah. They're like, I don't know. 9 months is a long time for me, but like a year, 2 years, like that's a long time.
Yeah, but they also don't notice it. Like,
yeah.
Again, the animal world, the things that we as humans notice, mm-hmm. we tend to do that as humans. We anthropomorphize our feelings onto the animals, and a year for them is a long time, sure, but they don't notice everything that's going on. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. 1 year of pregnancy sounds like a special type of hell.
For humans.
For them, they have no freaking clue.
Yeah, they're not having parties Yeah, they're not having parties where it's like, it's going to be a boy or a girl, or my baby's as big as a mango. Yes, I will stop anthropomorphizing.
And then they don't take care of the babies either, so it's literally just like 1 year, and then goodbye.
Bye, peace out, have fun, good luck, don't die.
That might be a good trade-off.
That is true. Not a lot of animals, besides mammals, obviously mammals do, and birds, but not a lot of animals nurture they're young when they're born. Yeah. Mammals and birds, and I think there's an occasional species here and there of different types of animals that do, but off the top of my head, I can't think of any.
Yeah.
Them are born, and good luck to you. I hope you make it. I'll see you never.
See you when I see you, and I might eat you.
Am I? Exactly. Yeah. Am I trying to? I don't know.
Yeah.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Well, and speaking of mating and sharks, multiple male sharks, and I don't know if it's all sharks or just certain species, can impregnate the same female. So some of the pups that are born are half siblings.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, a lot of the animal world.
Yeah.
It's I mean, horseshoe crabs are a great example where they make a chain onto a female, and they just each have a turn. Sharks is like that. Sea turtles is like that. There is a lot of animals that is like that.
Right.
And internally, there can be lots of different fathers.
Yeah. Even cats can do that. Like,
yeah,
domestic cats. Yeah, they can, yeah, since they have, like, two separate sets of, like, stuff internally, they can, like, be pregnant with, it's weird.
It would be a great episode on Maury. You are the father, yeah. But so are you.
Yeah. All of you, the cat being thrown around.
Yes, the cat is the father.
Oh, my God. So much child support.
And it just kind of, there's been some recent studies coming out lately, too, that there's been female sharks that haven't even needed a man. They're actually thinking that there are some species that are asexual.
Yeah. Wasn't that at the Monterey Bay Aquarium? One of the sharks there became pregnant, and they were like, how? We only have her.
Yeah.
I think it was a white shark.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was white or hammerhead or...
That species, yeah. But yeah, I remember being like, "Oh, that's interesting." I had no idea
that
you could do that.
Yeah,
good girl.
I'm wondering when that might be an option for humans, evolutionary wise.
I mean,
we're getting there.
It's an option. You just still have to get it, you know.
Right. I meant like just on your own.
Just sitting on the couch one day and be like, "I'd like to have a baby."
Yeah, I don't need a man. Let's have a baby.
And then at the next day, you could be like, never mind, I actually changed my mind.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's move away from reproduction and move on to the fact that sharks have been around for a long-ass time.
Yep, they were swimming with dinosaurs.
Yeah, about 450 million years ago. So, I mean, that says a lot about a species.
Yeah, there's not a lot of species that are around today that were around then that, I mean, that have evolved into something very similar to what they are now. The Megalodon is probably the best example of that. And what people try to say is still swimming in the ocean, and I'm always like, oh, yeah, sure.
It's real. I've seen it. No, that is, that it makes me so frustrated
that people think that they're still...
Yeah.
What are those sharks in Greenland? Aren't there like really prehistoric looking sharks that still are there?
Greenland sharks.
Oh, won't we go? Thanks.
I didn't know who they are. There's one. I think the oldest one that they know of, she's like over 500 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Which is freaking awesome. That's really cool. They partially think that's because the water there is so cold, so that, you know, the way her body's growing and these sharks that live up there is just a slower metabolism and lifespan, but you know, they're very prehistoric.
Is that how they got the idea with humans and the cryogenic freezing or whatever they're doing where they get in those chambers and it's super cold and it's supposed to, like, help your skin and your muscles?
I think that's a scam.
Is it?
I don't know. Maybe it's not.
All the athletes are doing it, and they swear by it. I don't know.
They also support my speed at one point.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Can't really listen to what they say.
I don't. You know what, though? If it was a, hey, you have to be in freezing water all the time, or you're going to die earlier, I think I'd shave a few years off, because I don't want to be in freezing water all the time.
Yeah, I don't want to be in freezing water ever.
No.
Ever.
Yeah. They do have quite a lot of really cool adaptations, sharks. And one, and maybe you can explain it in a better way than I can, and maybe I'm not even going to pronounce it right, but let's talk about the ampullae of Lorenzini.
Yes. So they have kind of like a sixth sense. Along their mouth and their jaw, they have these jelly-filled pores that can sense motion and detect motion, and I could be a little bit rusty on that, so don't 100% quote me on that, but it is a sixth sense in a way that helps them find prey, and maybe under the sand when they're looking for it, or further away. Yeah, have a chin full of jelly, it helps you find your food.
Is that the thing, like, they can sense, like, thrashing in the water and stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, like, motion. So they, like I said earlier, are the garbage men of the ocean. So their job is typically to eat dead and dying things. Mm-hmm. And so if a fish is thrashing in the water, that's signaling to them, oh, that thing's injured or dying. Let me go eat it. Mostly because it's an easy meal, mm-hmm. but that's just what they want to eat. So they can detect that. And I mean, that whole thing of sharks sense blood a mile away.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily true. I mean, and maybe if it's a really good shark and it's a big old fish that died, but I don't think they can detect a drop of blood a mile away. They may be able to detect the thrashing with your amplified, but I don't know if that's ever been proven for a mile.
That's a long way, especially with the water like dampening.
The water dampens.
The water really dampens.
Very dampening.
So,
stupid.
So, does that is what people are doing when they're trying to like tickle a shark into a comatose state? They're rubbing that ampullae.
I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen people do that and like flip them over in a comatose situation. Mm-hmm. I will say I'm not an expert on that. I don't know what that's doing. You could do that with alligators too.
Yeah.
I don't, if it's like picking you up and turning you upside down, you're probably going to stop what you're doing. You'd be like, what is going on?
Yeah. No, not me. I think I'd be at the opposite quite. Someone just picked me up.
Start fighting.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. That's one where you might edit that part out because I don't know.
Well, that's okay if you don't know. You're not shark expert, Elissa.
We don't know either.
We don't know either. I saw it on the Discovery Channel and I was curious because you see these guys and they tickle under the snout and then it's just like they flip them over and then they're just like, done.
I can tell you I've never tickled one under it.
No, you're not a shark tickler.
Animal mouths?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have pretty cool mouths.
I was like, speaking of shark mouths.
Yeah.
Speaking of mouths, that's a cool one that I like to talk about. That is one that I do talk about a lot. So shark mouths, they have, do you know how many teeth they have in their mouth?
Yeah.
Don't they like have rows of teeth and they lose one and they get a new one? So infinity.
Yeah.
Infinity.
You do know. They have 5 to 7 rows depending on the species. And the outer row is constantly falling off, and then the new row moves up like a conveyor belt, and it can go through thousands, tens of thousands of teeth in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. And you can also tell what a shark eats, what its diet mainly consists of, it, and its lifestyle is based on the tooth shape. So if they have like a mako shark, how they have pointed, long, slender teeth, those are fast sharks. They're going to eat fast food, so things like tuna and animals that move really quickly because their teeth are like fork prongs that you use to grab, right? And white sharks or what people call great white sharks have the triangular serrated teeth, and that's that they eat things like seals. So they got to cut through like a knife, cut through the layers to get to the meat. So sharks are pretty cool in that adaptation. Or the cookie cutter shark that you talked about. Their teeth are really tiny in order to make these little cuts that the animal that they're on won't feel to get to the chunk missing.
It's so bizarre. Do you think that's one of the reasons like sharks are so misunderstood, if people get scared because of the sharp pointy teeth and the abundance of teeth?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think the biggest issue that people hate sharks is because of that movie Jaws. Unfortunately, that movie came out at a time where more people were spending time in the ocean and shark accidents did happen and capitalized upon. And so now people have this really unhealthy fear of them. And I always tell people, just remember, these things are more afraid of you than you are of them because you're this alien in their environment. They have no idea what you are.
Right.
We evolve in the ocean, so they don't know what we are. Whereas we know what they are, and we just practice safe big techniques when we're in the water, mm-hmm. we should be fine.
Yeah, it's a lot of misidentification. It's, you know, I'm going to try you. Do you taste good? We don't taste good to sharks. Sharks like fatty things, especially
well,
the great.
Some of us might then.
Especially the great white shark. They wouldn't like me.
No, I'm going to be gone.
But, I mean, they taste it, and they're like, oh, you don't taste good. And the problem is a great white shark tastes the human and spits you out. Well, you probably still might die.
Yeah.
That's the big shark that's taking a chunk to try. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, that's the unfortunate part. And there are some sharks, like the bull shark. Mm-hmm. Again, like I mentioned, if it has the name bull or king in it, it's going to be aggressive. The bull shark, which is one that we get a lot in Florida, is a unique species because it's one of the only sharks that could go from saltwater mm-hmm. into freshwater.
Yeah.
And most of us play in freshwater. Like, that's where you let your guard down, so you don't expect sharks to be there.
Yeah.
And bull sharks are aggressive.
Yeah.
They're not just going to take a exploratory bite. Like, they aren't going to be more aggressive. That's not to scare people, but, you know, like, they were found way far up the Mississippi River. I think there was a boat accident in the early 1900s in one of the lakes of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And these sailors were consumed by bull sharks because they were in the water. Yeah.
That wasn't too cold for them.
Most of all, but.
No, you asked about them being too cold. Right? Mm-hmm. Bull sharks can actually withstand some, I mean, a lot of sharks can withstand some extreme temperatures that you wouldn't think.
Yeah, we have up here, I'm in Nantucket right now, we have, the water out here is like in the 40s, 30s,
ooh.
And there are a couple species of sharks. Mm-hmm. One of the organizations that I like called O-Search is a really cool place. They have a shark tracker where they tag sharks,
mm-hmm.
and you can see where in the world they are.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, we have a mako shark up here,
mm-hmm.
we have a blue shark, and we have a white shark that's pinging off in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh,
that's
wow.
three different types of species that are up here, but you will also find those species down south.
Yeah.
Like, they go everywhere.
That's cool. I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew there were sharks that lived in cold water, but I didn't realize that there were some that could do both. They can do it all.
Yeah.
They can do it all. See the world.
Yeah. So not a lot of people have been able to touch a shark, but I think a lot of people will be surprised on how a shark feels.
Yeah. So sharks, if you think about, like, if you were to ask someone what does a shark feel like, they'd probably be like slimy, smooth like a fish, if they, you know, mostly slimy is what people think. The sharks are actually very rubbery and hard. Well, sort of. Their skin feels like sandpaper. They have, oh my gosh, why can't I think this word? Dermicles?
It's dermicles, yeah.
Is it?
That sounds. I remember it being a silly word.
Yeah. It's definitely derm, I just can't remember the last part.
Derm is skin. So yeah, I think we're right.
I know nothing about sharks.
Yeah. Whatever the word is for tooth skin. Mm-hmm. So derm, like, their skin is covered in these things that look like shark teeth. Pointing backwards, if you had a shark from the head to the tail, you'll be fine. But if you go tail to the head, your hand's just going to be scratched up.
Sorry, I wish I could take a picture of Whitney's face right now because it's hilarious. But yeah,
mine is blown.
I'm a very visual person, so I'm trying to visualize an image of that. It's freaking me out. I'm not gonna lie, because I have a lot of texture issues.
Oh, you mean that?
So that's really freaky.
But it looks exactly like she's describing. Sorry, you were finishing up.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like little tiny teeth. Millions of them all over their skin, and it just helps them move more quickly and silently through the water.
Oh.
Just help them go through, like the predators that they are.
Like owl feathers. How they have that kind of, like, for the silent flight.
Right.
How they have the, like, surface area type thing.
A function to help them
hunt.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I'm just bummed I can't think of what the real word. Dermicles just doesn't sound right to me. I don't
feel like it is. I don't know. Well, I will say dermal denticles. That's, oh my god, you're right. So we just put the words together.
Yes, I'm making blended words. Dermal denticles. So dermal means skin. Dental means
teeth. So denticles.
Yeah. This is not correct.
No, you're right.
My Latin and Greek.
That's fascinating, though. Yeah. And would that? I mean, you said you would get, like, scratched up if you rubbed the wrong way against them. Would that help them with any kind of defense, or that's just, like, a byproduct of...
As far as I know, I don't think it's any defense mechanism, because sharks can't go backwards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because of the gills.
Yeah, gills. They gotta go forward. So I don't think going backwards, any animal... I don't know. I think it's just a side effect of helping them get through the water.
I mean, it does toughen up their skin, too, though, as far as you're talking about, like, healing and, you know.
Yeah, their skin is very, very thick. You have to do necropsies on them, and a necropsy is, I know you guys know, but it's...
Our five listeners might not.
Yeah. So it's basically finding, it's an autopsy for an animal, so finding out why did this animal die, you have to go inside and figure it out. Mm-hmm. So doing a necropsy on one of our sharks that had passed away, we had to use some pretty extensive tools to get into the skin because the skin was so thick. You can't just use a scalpel like we do on all the other fish. Mm-hmm. You have to get some heavy-duty equipment, unfortunately, to get in there and find out what happened. So, yeah, their skin is very thick.
Do they, because I know, like, a lot of, like, we worked with some warty pigs, and they had, like, a really thick hide, and it was because they would fight. Like, do sharks have territorial fights or anything like that?
They can. I mean, for the most part, they are by themselves. That's a great question that I, unfortunately, don't have the answer to. I know, typically, when you see a shark in the wild, it's going to be by itself. There's some groups that will come together. So, like, those pictures you see in the Caribbean where people are chumming the water, you have 10 different mako sharks that are over there, or 10 different bull sharks, you know, whatever it is. They're coming together for the zoo. They don't necessarily move in pods, or these sharks don't really stay sedentary. They move all the time. They're constantly going to a new place. Like, they don't say, all right, this area is my home, as far as I know.
Yeah.
They have to, I mean, most of them, I believe, have to keep kind of constant movement because of water through their gills, correct? I mean, not all of them, because I know nurse sharks kind of hang out sometimes.
Right. Yeah, they will. Nurse sharks do live in groups. Mm-hmm. So here we go. There is one that lives in groups. So they live in groups. They do this really cool thing of when they sleep in piles. Some fun pictures of that, too. And they'll live in caves together. But they're kind of a different shark than most. Speaking of them, they have flat teeth because they eat food that they crush. Yeah. So crustaceans, shellfish, things like that. But yeah, there are some that live together. And most sharks have to continue moving. There is one species, I can't remember what it is. It's a Caribbean, I think it's a lemon shark, that they go into these freshwater caves and kind of get themselves high in a way. Because something about the water temperature and the salinity difference makes them almost catatonic and sit still and kind of just be in that space for a little bit. And yeah, I don't remember if it was a lemon shark or something else.
Sorry, my dog was stuck in the bathroom.
Okay, what?
She, you know, being almost 16 and the vision and the coordination's a little lower than normal, she'll go into the bathroom and the door is now half ajar because she pushed the door open, and now she doesn't know how to get back out. So I just hear, like, banging.
Yeah. We just heard, like, a thud.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no, Bella does that all the time.
Yeah.
You have to leave doors completely open, or otherwise... gonna hear knocking, and that's why I haven't heard knocking into things because she just can't see anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, old ladies.
So back to chondrichthyes, which are what sharks belong to because they're made out of
cartilage.
Oh, that worked much better this time. So sharks and rays, they're made out of cartilage. It's really cool. It makes them more flexible and faster in the water. Is that correct?
Yeah, it makes them so that they can move. Yeah. Like, their body's not as rigid as anything with a skeleton. So, like, your ears and your nose, how you move that really easily, you can do the same. Like, the sharks are the same. They can turn themselves around all the way if needed. Just makes it easier for life in the water.
Yeah, awesome.
Are they fully made out of cartilage? I mean, not like their teeth, obviously, but is that why that's all you see are, like, jaws and teeth when they're... Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I really don't know anything.
Yeah, no, that's a great question.
Yeah, the jaw and the teeth is the only thing. I mean, you'll get skin preserved, but it's not going to last as long as, like, the teeth and the jaw, because that's the only hard part that they have.
Oh, wow. That's really crazy.
Yeah, that's like, is it the lemon shark that also has those really cool teeth? What is the one? Oh, I can't remember. We used to use the skull as like a comparison of teeth. Like we had like a shark jaw and then we had that one jaw where it was flat and it crushed.
Yeah, so the flat mouth and then the shark mouth that we had was a ray.
Okay.
So stingrays also do the same thing, but instead of teeth, they have tooth plates, essentially, where their tooth plates are constantly on a conveyor belt. So the front two fall out, and then the next ones move in, and their teeth are usually flattened into these plates because they crush and grind their food, like mollusk and crustaceans, typically. So that's one of the main differences between those two. I don't think any rays have teeth the way that we think of.
I don't think so, yeah.
And I think they're all flat surfaces, like two crushing plates.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Florida was always really funny, and I think we had this experience once where we were watching people in the ocean and they freak out and they're running, and you and I are on the beach laughing because they're looking at a dolphin, not a shark.
Right.
And there's a really easy way to tell them apart, even far away, which is how?
The fin.
Yeah. So explain to everybody so they don't freak out next time they're in Florida.
Yeah. Shark fin looks like it's a triangle, essentially. It's a triangular shape on top, whereas dolphins have more of a crescent moon shape on top. Like, yeah, true, when you're in the water, are you really gonna logically stop and think, is this a triangle? But to be quite honest, if there's dolphins in the water, you should be afraid of them as well.
Yeah,
not to make people scared of this lovely animal, but dolphins are just as aggressive.
They can
grab your leg just to see what you do. They want to see you squirm. They want to see if I can play with you. And if you can hold your breath longer than me.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a dolphin in the water, you should leave the water as well. Like, a shark in the water is going to be like, oh, cool, whatever, you're weird, I'm swimming away from you. Whereas a dolphin's going to be like, ooh, new toy, let's play, let's see what we can do. Like, I always say that, like, I'm more afraid of a dolphin that I am shark.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've seen you swimming around with the sharks, no problem. But I wonder why you stopped working with dolphins. It's a mystery.
Yeah,
but yeah, the shark fin goes back and forth. The dolphin fin's going to go up and down. That's the difference between.
Yes, a shark is a fish, so their tail goes side to side, where a dolphin is a mammal, so their tail goes up and down.
Yeah.
So again, if you're paying attention to what the tails do to you,
I think most people, especially that don't live by the ocean, they feel something brush against their leg. They're like, shit, out of here.
Yeah.
Which is a smart move. You know, you run out of the ocean. If you have a fear or something, no matter what it is in this world, just run away.
Just run away.
Just run away.
What made us get to where we are is
good for anything. Right, we just run away.
Run away. It suited me well for my entire life, so we're good.
Yeah. So sharks, like we mentioned earlier, they get a bad rap, but they're incredibly important for the environment. And I know you mentioned one of those things, like the garbage men of the ocean, the cleanup crew, whatever. But why else are they really important to the natural world?
Yeah, they're apex predators. You can cut that other part out.
Sure.
But they're apex predators, and those are important to the environment because they keep everything else in check.
Yeah.
If you have sharks, then something else is going to take its place.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, one of the sharks, if they love to eat lobster.
Mm-hmm.
If you have nothing keeping that in check, then all of a sudden there's going to be an overpopulation of lobster, which may be not so bad, but, you know, lobsters eat something else, and
yeah.
then that's going to cause a ripple effect.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
If you have, I mean, the way our environment is set up is to have a niche for everything, and mm-hmm. everything is important in that realm. So if you get rid of one, everything else is going to fall down.
Right.
And especially top predators. You need those.
Yeah. And I know one thing they face more than anything else is humans catching them for things like food or fear. But basically, what they do is they catch them, they chop off their fins, and throw them back in the water, which is incredibly cruel for one and unnecessary. But they believe these fins have some medicinal, magical powers, and they use them in a lot of soups and stuff. So why don't they have medicinal, magical powers in those fins?
It's just a fish. I mean, the fin is just cartilage. There is nothing in that. It is skin and cartilage.
Yeah.
So these, I mean, I'm not knocking any cultures.
Right. Absolutely
ancient,
not.
You know, but there are certain things where the ancient medicines say, let's use this for a libido
mm-hmm.
stimulator, or let's use this for longevity of life. It's been proven that these things don't happen. Another one of those animals would be the seahorse.
Yeah.
The seahorse is thought to be a libido perker. I don't know what the right word is, but
right.
it's supposed to be libido green, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Rhino horn
right.
is another example of that, where it's supposed to, I don't remember exactly, but it doesn't do those things.
Right.
And unfortunately, because sharks aren't charismatic and they aren't things that people love, no one really cares that the shark fins are getting chopped off.
Yeah.
And the bad part is they chop off those fins while the animal's still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Toss it back in the ocean and the shark can't move.
Right.
It dies.
Does it drown?
Like, they drown, essentially. It can't swim anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It can't live its life. It's like, I mean, it's horrendous.
Yeah.
And it happens. But people don't care because it's not a cute, fluffy dolphin. It's not a cute turtle or a whale. It's just shark jaws. I don't care. Let them all die.
Yeah.
And we need them.
Do you think some of that, I mean, this is obviously like a very anthropological question, but some of those traditional ancient things, I mean, people didn't have guns and giant power boats and there were less people just population-wise. Like, some of the things people used to do, it still was, it's terrible to let an animal drown or starve, but they couldn't do those types of things in the same quantity that they can now?
Exactly. Yes, and that's also not having the science that we have now. They really did believe that these things helped.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anthropologically, you have cultures that just believe it, and you can change your mind, and now you have 17 times the amount of people and that much more want of it, and we have much better ways of collecting it, not better, but we have much more efficient ways of collecting it, rather than getting one shark that is going to last us, this may be the last shark we catch for 7 or 8 years, versus now we can collect hundreds in an hour, and you know, supply and demand. So there's a few organizations out there that are trying to educate people of that culture to understand why it's not a good thing. Like, stop shark finning.
Yeah.
Stop eating. Stop serving shark fin soup.
Absolutely.
Stop doing these things. And it's helping, but it needs more momentum behind it. People need to get more behind sharks.
Yeah. Gordon Ramsay actually did a really cool special. I encourage people to watch it where he went and he talked about shark finning, and he went to different restaurants in different parts of the world and tried to convince them like this isn't beneficial and educate people.
Yeah.
And he did it on such a great educational standpoint. And it was one of the things that I found most impressive about him doing. I mean, shark fins, I mean, it's cartilage, so cut off your own ear, you're going to get the same, and eat it, you're going to get the same effect.
AKA nothing.
Exactly.
You mean rubber thing in your mouth. Like,
yes. So you did mention that one organization. How else can people kind of help sharks, educate other people about sharks? Like, what can we do? Because I know some of these sharks are now on the endangered species list because of all the finning, and it's just a cruel practice. So what can we do?
I mean, you can find organizations that you support. So a good one that people, you know, some people love or hate, this is SeaWorld is a great place that gets, does a lot of research with all different types of animals, not just aquatic. They also do terrestrial, but they're a good organization that's an easy one to find. You can find cards and facts and go visit these animals if you go to any of the SeaWorld parks. One place that I really like that I follow is OSearch. I mentioned them before. They do a lot of shark research. They're a really cool organization that, I don't know if you guys remember a couple years ago, the great white shark named Catherine.
Yes. Oh, so, great. Catherine the Great. Oh, I get it now.
Good. She was tagged by OSearch, and they were able to learn a lot of her migration patterns. So Catherine the Great, they were able to learn more about great white sharks, migration patterns, and other sharks that they have tagged. But it's a cool app. You can actually download it. It's called Shark Tracker.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's the coolest thing. So you can just open it up to where you are and see what sharks are around there, provided you're near coastal situations. Right. Obviously, in Colorado, you're not going to have a shark near you. But
no. Yeah.
Yes.
And just don't forget, sharks have feelings too.
They do. Sharks are all.
Sharks are friends, not food, is what Whitney wanted to say. Oh, it came around to Disney again. Perfect.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sharks are not food. Don't eat them. They taste gross.
And one last thing, I would hate to not mention the shark because I love this shark, and I know you do too. The goblin shark.
Oh, yeah, let's forget about the little goober.
Yeah. What's cool about the goblin shark?
So the goblin shark is this hideous little beast, but he's adorable, off the coast of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
That those waters over there. It's a very deep-dwelling shark.
Okay.
And what's cool is the way it feeds. Well, two things. The way it feeds and its color.
Yeah.
So the goblin shark is a very pasty, sickly-looking pink color.
Like me.
For me. Yeah. And the other way to eat, if you have a chance, you should Google how goblin sharks eat.
Yes.
And they, like, catch their jaw, they come shooting out, and then it goes back into their mouth, and they look like little goblins.
Mm-hmm.
And if you grew up watching The Labyrinth or any
best
movies, you're going to love goblin shark.
Yes.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Forget about them. How do I forget about
them? I don't. When you listed your favorites, I was like, she hasn't mentioned the goblin shark. So it's been in my mind this whole time, and I just needed to mention the goblin shark because it's the most awesome shark, and a lot of people don't know about him. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you cannot find them in aquariums because they are such deep-dwelling species that they need high pressure.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's so cool. So, yeah, please go and Google goblin sharks and check them out. But more so, go to the website Elissa mentioned and learn how we can all help protect sharks. And remember, they have feelings and they're wonderful apex predators that we need in this earth. So, yeah, thank you so much for chatting with us, telling us all about sharks. Yep. Anything else to add, Whitney?
Thank you so much. It was so... You're very educational. Thank you. I knew nothing, and I feel like I learned a lot.
And you know what? Maybe we'll have you back and talk about octopi, our pods.
And potty training.
And potty training.
Well, I mean, hopefully in the future I will, you know, have more fun things. I'll be working with humans, but maybe in a different aspect.
I can't.
To my root. Education and animals. So stay tuned.
I can't wait, and I will definitely stay tuned because you're not getting rid of me. So there you go.
Well, I've tried to shake you off for 10 years.
Yeah, it's still...
I'm octopus to my face.
Yeah, absolutely, I'm the octopus sticking to your face.
All right. having me.
Yes, thanks for talking about sharks, and yeah. Bye, love you.